It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a good life it is to be living for the Lord, to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We've been studying through the book of 1 Peter, and we just started in chapter 1. You know, the book of 1 Peter contains so many wonderful truths that God has given us. It would be impossible for us to cover every aspect of what God has here. It's so important that you study the Word, that you get into the Word of God, and you read what God has for you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there are so many gold nuggets there that, once again, it would be impossible to exhaust everything found in that chapter. A preacher could preach on this for years and still have gold nuggets that are still there, ready to be mined. And you need to get into the Word of God and study the Scriptures for yourself to understand the great goodness of God that He has for you personally. Well, last time we left off with 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and we'll pick up with that right now. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says this, and of course it talks about salvation. Salvation is the inheritance spoken of in verse 4, and as you read verse 4 again, it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And now listen carefully to verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to keep ourselves safe? That Jesus Christ keeps us. He not only saves us, but He keeps us safe through the power of God. It says there in verse 5 again, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed." And the last time, we got saved by faith through grace. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. And we're kept by the power of God. That's enough to make a Baptist shout, knowing that one day that person, that Baptist, is going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. And it's enough now to make us shout because we see it in the Word of God. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it goes on to say, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." That's enough to make you rejoice, isn't it? "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Well, I believe here that what Peter is trying to tell us is that there is joy in the midst of suffering. When I think of suffering, I automatically think of Paul, of all the sufferings he went through. But Peter also suffered. And Peter is telling us here that there is joy in the midst of suffering. And notice here the hope, the rejoicing. He says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." Wherein? There is great rejoicing because of hope. The author Peter here is speaking of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible speaks of that. And James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." We're going to be, once again, ready for all things that come into our lives as Christians. In other words, things are going to happen. Some of these things are not what we would think of as happy times, but we need to be ready to face them. And the way we face those times of temptations, those times of trials, is to be strong in the Lord, to trust in the Lord. And you trust more and more daily as you get into His Word, as you pray, and as you speak to Him, and you have a quiet time alone with Him. He gives you the courage. He gives you the joy. Of course, the Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And notice in verse 6 also, it talks about a season. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season." A season. This is a short period of time. It's a short period of suffering compared to eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, our life here is just a speck. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So when we compare the sufferings that we possibly could go through with here as we travel this life as Christians, it's only but for a moment compared to eternity. And let me say this, that you're not saved by suffering. You're not saved by doing certain things or getting points with God. As Peter points out in several instances in this epistle, that we are saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. It's all of God. And notice, now in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, that the trial of your faith, and once again speaking of the temptations and sufferings, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We see, whatever we do is to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior. Whatever we do, we should not think that because we're suffering or because we're going through something that we're getting points with God. No. We need to look at it as such that brings honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bring honor and glory to God. Notice that verse. It talks about your enduring or the trial of your faith that is tested is worth more than gold. Why? Because gold will perish and your enduring, your faith will be to Christ's praise, to His glory and honor when He appears. Don't you know that the devil doesn't understand anything of what's going on? Why would people go through this? Why would people suffer? Why would they go through trials and temptations? He doesn't understand this, and of course, he's lost. He can never be saved. Neither can the demons that serve him, and they must actually wonder why you and I would be willing to suffer for our Lord. And we have the answer, of course, as we're going through this in 1 Peter. It talks about this. It's because of the sufferings of our Lord that we're going through this, because of what He did for us. The Bible says He first loved us and gave Himself for us that we could be saved and on our way to heaven. And of course, that verse says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And I believe that many people today know that verse, even unsaved people, but they don't allow it to come into their hearts. They don't grasp that meaning that God loved them so much that He gave Jesus Christ, His Son, to die for them on the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood, that whosoever would believe in Him and on Him would have eternal life. Did you know that's the reason that the devil can't believe? He doesn't believe and he won't believe. The Bible says the natural man, and in this case, the natural devil, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. A person today who is unsaved can understand they're lost. They can't save themselves, in other words, and they need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can save them. And if they'll call upon Him, He can save them. That's when an unsaved person can understand from the Word of God. That's what they can understand. The things of God are spiritually discerned, and only by the Spirit of God are these things revealed to mankind. And that is what He wants to reveal to you today if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, that you're lost. You can't save yourself. You need a Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And you need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. That's what you can understand as an unsaved person. Ask Him to come into your heart. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, how can we have joy? It's because we know that He loved us first, and it's because of His love that we can love. Notice this verse says there is rejoicing with joy that's inexpressible. We can't express this joy. It's inexpressible and full of glory. We bring glory to God when we rejoice in suffering for Him, for loving Him who we have not seen. And it says that therefore, believing Him whom ye have not seen. We haven't seen Him with naked eye, but we see Him through the eye of faith. We remember old Doubting Thomas. You remember him? He said, unless I touch Him, unless I put my hand in His side, unless I see the nail prints and touch His hands, I'll not believe. Well, Jesus appeared and Thomas saw Him and he did what He said. He touched Him. He said, my Lord and my God. Jesus told him, and He says, you believe because you've seen me. You believe because you touched me. But more blessed are those who have not seen me and have believed. And that's us. That's people who are living today who have never seen Jesus Christ, and yet they believe what He said in His scriptures, in His word, that He is the Son of God and that He is God and that He is the Savior. That brings you joy and rejoicing unspeakable. And it does it, it brings it in our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, this is the final aspect of faith in Christ, and that is salvation future, the future inheritance. We're looking forward to that day when we will be with Him eternally. And that brings joy to the hearts of people who actually lose a loved one. And it brings joy to the heart of that loved one who's getting ready to go to be with the Lord. The Bible says this in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And He goes on to say this, if it were not so, I would have told you. And He also goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that should bring joy to the heart of every individual in this world. But sadly, it doesn't bring joy to the heart of those who've never trusted Christ. It brings joy to the hearts of those people who know Jesus as Savior. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's something else now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and it says this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. We'll pick up here the next time when we look once again into the book of 1 Peter.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.